We present The Sound of Football.
I'm surprised own goals for Man U didn't get on the shortlist, because, you know, he's had a cracking season, really. I mean,
OG.
Yeah, I mean, he's been knocking around the one or two for most of his career, and then, like, to pitch in this season with, what, 13 is it now? I mean, like, you know, hats off to him, because he's getting on a bit now, and, you know, I think, yeah. Well done to him.
Give it to him. Maybe golden boot, I don't know.
Yeah.
What he do needs to fire his agent. I think he needs to fire his agent, because he's obviously got good PR.
Well, there you go, then. I don't think the argument between Defoe and Benton and need go on any further.
Well, that's absolutely. Just to return very briefly.
As I was saying, we could raid this back in now.
To talk about.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. My name's Chris Oakley, and as ever, it gives me great pleasure to introduce two men who know a thing or two about football. Not much more than that, to be fair, but anyway, here they are. It's Terry DeFellin and Graham Sibley.
Hello.
Welcome aboard, chaps. So, we begin this week's show, first of all, with a quick match report, because, you know, that's the sort of thing we do a lot on this programme. Terry, now you went to see Crystal Palace last night, your team, a crucial match. They were at home to, my brain's gone, remind me already. Who are they playing? West Bromwich Albion, that's right. Sorry, yes, how quickly I forget. A crucial game, but not as crucial as the next one's going to be. But essentially, just to paint the picture, of course, Crystal Palace trying to avoid relegation after the points deduction of earlier this season. A win last night against West Brom would have secured their participation in the Championship next season. Terry, a quick overview of what happened and how you saw the game generally.
I saw the game through the slits in my fingers. It was a draw. It was a fantastic atmosphere in the crowd. There was a 20,000+ there, which is very good for Crystal Palace. We took the lead through an own goal from ex-Millwall player Stephen Reid, which we all enjoyed.
I enjoyed it. I saw it on the telly, actually, that one. Yeah, very good.
But not long afterwards, we conceded an equaliser to, what's his name, Tamás. I can't remember his first name. Gabriel Tamás, who's a Romanian, according to Soccer Way. So that took the edge off things. And it was a very tense, typical Championship affair. From Palace's point of view, we played pretty well, although I was a bit puzzled as to why we went with a very obvious single man up front, Calvin Andrews, not a terribly gifted footballer, as you would probably imagine for that level, against a West Brom team who also seem to be playing with exactly the same formation, and with our emphasis on, frankly, winning the game, we could have lost the game 6-0 or 8-0, frankly, and it wouldn't have made any difference. We needed to win the game. I'm surprised that we didn't go for the more attacking 4-4-2 until after we conceded the equaliser. So then Paul Hart made a substitution. He brought on Alan Lee. And if anyone has seen
John.
Alan Lee, then, well, I mean, there's not a lot to say about him. He's a trier, and God loves them. He went to 4-4-2, and we perked up a little bit, and then went to 4-3-3. So changing formations three times in the same game just gives you an indication of just how desperate things got towards the end. Our best player was our goalkeeper, Julian Speroni, and he made a number of crucial saves. West Brom could have been out of sight. I have to say, West Brom, certainly if yesterday's game was anything to go for, are a superior side, a very good side. How good they'll be in the Premier League, no one knows. But Chris Brunt impressed me hugely, a very creative player. A friend I was with, Richard, he was also picked him out as well, thought he was a superb player. Big, strong, fast, and intelligent. Definitely someone to have a look at. Anyway, we got a lot to cap it all off. We thought, just when we thought, you know, that we had our late, we had a man sent off, Neil Downs, for headbutting, then we had a late flurry despite the 10 men. And I thought, well, if we played like this from the beginning, then we might have scored more than one goal. And you know, that's the whole point, is to score. As I said, the whole point is to score goals. So, you know. We had a shot cleared off the line in the very, very last second, literally the last second. It was almost the last kick of the game. The disappointment was palpable. So we go to Sheffield Wednesday next Sunday, who are 2 points behind us. And if they beat us, we go down. And if we can avoid defeat against them, we will stay up. So it's a real relegation shootout.
That last 5 or 10 minutes, I mean, that miss from Snow and John was muster. I mean, like, what was the atmosphere like in the crowd when that went wide?
I know because, I mean, they immediately just got back onto it. I mean, I think because it was so close to the end of the game that there wasn't time for recriminations almost. They just sort
were just
urging them on. And I mean, for me, it's the clearance at the very last minute that
Darren Ambrose effort.
Yeah, and it's still, I can imagine it in my mind. In fact, it's been pretty much it's like those price comparison websites about, you know, things that people have missed out on because they didn't use a price comparison website to save money. It's this goal line clearance, you know, that's sort of like, you know, this is the goal line clearance that would have kept Crystal Palace in the Championship. And it's kind of a bit like that. So I'm sort of I've been a bit of a haunted man today, I have to say.
I must admit, I echo your sentiment from watching it in the first half. You would have thought, well, you know, a draw isn't good enough for Palace. They should be like really going for it at the moment, and it didn't seem to be the way. They seemed too conservative in the first half.
You could argue that perhaps what he was worried about, Paul Hart, was that West Brom would be so good.
And they are, they were pretty good.
Yeah.
Considering they're nothing to play for.
Yeah, I mean, the worrying. I mean, they got five yellow cards in that game, so I would suggest that they seemed to be fairly committed to the.
It was a bit tasty, wasn't it, at times?
Yeah, but for them, I don't think they were treating it like just an end of season runaround. They seemed to be quite keen to do us, and in another day they would have done. They would have done us. I mean, Speroni was superb. But I still think that even though Speroni was superb, a better finishing would have buried us, frankly. So, I mean, they were much the better side. But, you know, I mean, I think that if we play like that against a Wednesday on Sunday, then we'll be okay. But, I mean, at this stage of the season and at this point in the, you know, at that end of the table, there's absolutely no way you can judge how a team's going to play from one game to the next. I mean, it really is. Everyone's down there. Well, all right, we're down there because of the 10-point deduction. But most teams down there are there because of shocking inconsistency. Good enough on their day, but not good enough for 46 games. And you know, there's no way of knowing what it's going to be like, apart from tense and desperately unpleasant for supporters of the clubs involved, but tremendous fun for everybody else, I should imagine.
Well, yes.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you've got a choice. You've got Liverpool versus Chelsea on Sky, or you've got Wednesday versus Palace on the BBC. So,
I'll be watching.
Yeah, indeed, absolutely. I shall be watching the Liverpool game.
We dealt that one from the bottom of the pack today, if you don't mind my saying.
Yeah. I'm joking, kids, of course.
Far be it for us to turn our back on the Premier League. That's more than we dare do. But you'll be Crystal Palace will be going into that last game without Neil Danz, who got a straight red card there for headbutting Graham Dorans, who it turns out probably won't be West Ham's next purchase. What do you reckon? I mean, like, far be it for me to put you on the spot for predictions, but obviously a draw would be good enough for Palace, but they've got to go all out to try and win it, I guess, haven't they? The old cliche.
Right, it's as I said, because they haven't got a Scooby. I mean, I wouldn't know. I mean, I just genuinely. I mean, I mean, instinctively, I think we will get the draw. But I mean, I'm not basing that on anything apart from
I think we get a comfortable win.
Yeah, there you go.
Three.
Now, you're asking the wrong guy, Chris. You want to ask Graham. He knows. He knows much
better. Graham, we're putting you on the spot. Let's give a prediction there. Sheffield Wednesday are on a pretty poor run at the moment, aren't they? I'm just looking very quickly on the computer as we speak. I mean, they've certainly lost the last four on the trot, haven't they? And haven't had a win in the last five. Sorry, I'm reading the wrong line there. That's Plymouth, but we don't need to talk about Plymouth. I saw enough of Crystal Palace in that match last night to suggest that they've got a lot of fighting spirit, and on that basis, they're quite similar to West Ham in that I think for the lack of players who have got a decent level of quality about them, they'd be sort of far higher up. I mean, 10-point deduction obviously notwithstanding, but apart from having sort of a couple of players that could stick the ball in the back of the net a bit more often, they're actually a team that got a lot of battling qualities, etc. So
yeah, I mean,
we're looking actually Sheffield Wednesday's last win in the Championship was 24th of March
against Watford, who are dreadful. So, I genuinely don't think that means anything. I mean, we pulled ourselves out of the fire with three games to go a few seasons ago when we almost got relegated. And we hadn't won a game since, I don't know, Christmas or something like that. And then we won three games in a row. I think back to great relegation battles that we've been in, and I won't recount them all, but I mean, there have been, at this stage of the season, you just do not know. All that they need to do is produce a performance for 90 minutes, and they're at home and they could do it. They're a very proud club.
You need the Doug.
Yeah, no, the Doug is
retired.
The Doug is retired. He's on the sidelines cheering the lads on, but the Doug is. We need to move on.
Doug, bring your boots. We need you now.
It would be quite interesting if he did suddenly re-register himself and then played, but. Anyway, well, I think we can probably safely move on to something else. I think. What do you reckon?
Well, I think we should
broaden things out
up to the top end of that division.
Good stuff.
Essentially, we've got a pretty good idea. Well, we've got a very good idea actually of who's actually going to be promoted from the Championship this season, as in Newcastle and West Brom, and in the playoff positions, we know three of the four teams that are going to be going up. They being. Nottingham Forest currently third, Cardiff currently fourth, Leicester currently fifth, and either Blackpool or Swansea City. Only a point separates those two, and essentially, as you can appreciate, Swansea will be hoping that Blackpool slip up so that it gives them a chance to go through, but it's going to be a sort of tense final game there. So, Newcastle and West Brom. Newcastle, I have to say, a very admirable campaign. So there they are, sitting at the top on 99 points with one game left to go. And, who'd have thought and all that? Because, it's certainly easy to have forgotten, if you're like me, this time last year, Newcastle in complete and utter disarray, really badly managed, at least financially, if nothing else. And everyone was sort of laughing hysterically at their antics, and yet they've gone down to the Championship and seemingly got stuck in and just got on with the job of racking those points up so they get straight back. Graham, what do you make of their campaign this year? And can we expect perhaps a different Newcastle United in many ways next season?
I think so. I mean, I think looking at the team they've actually got there, they've got stability there in the side, and they've got a side that's actually playing well together. I think the look of the fact that they've only lost four games in a Championship season. That's pretty impressive going for a side that came down. I mean, I know we've seen Sunderland go down, with their tails between their legs, and actually come back like resurgent the next season. But I think this is good for Newcastle, because they spent so long in the top flight and they didn't do a Leeds. I think that's the most important thing, isn't it? Really, I think that's what
that's
everyone thought was going to happen. I think the same can be said for West Brom as well. I mean, under Tony Mowbray, they were cursed by the commentators for playing too pretty football. I mean, I think that was a very, very harsh criticism of them, because I thought, what we don't want is we don't want a load of teams in the bottom half of the table just playing to stay up in the Premiership. We want to see teams that are actually good to watch, and West Brom were, I think they will be next season as well. I think it's great that Bob Matthews has brought them back up, and I think he's going to be you know, he's going to probably keep them up next season. That's my bold statement of the evening.
The two.
Bold, no, bold, bold. Yeah, you just said you said that Crystal Palace would win.
I know. Yeah, I'm full of bold statements this evening.
You've been on the gin, haven't you, Graham?
I have been on the gin. Yes. Well, yeah, I had a gin when I got home from work. I needed one. It was a bad day. Okay. Look. Okay.
Don't, a large one.
Don't judge me. Okay.
No one's judging you here. In fact, I'm rather tempted to go downstairs and fetch one myself.
Oh well, I will keep talking then, Terry. You just
will you? That's awfully good of you.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah. Sorry. Go on, Graham.
Well, And so, looking at, well, so who else is going to join them in the playoffs then? Because Blackpool are, what, they're at home to Bristol. That's not going to be easy. Whereas Swansea are at home to Doncaster. Which, you know, that's...
Doncaster have been... Yeah. Well, last time I looked, they were pretty uninspiring. But I see from the table that they're up to 12th. Yeah, so they've had a bit of a late rally.
Yeah. Neither Bristol or Doncaster have got anything to play for. So they're two winnable home ties, I suppose. So
I think both teams... Blackpool, that with my limited knowledge of such things.
It's going to be Blackpool. It's going to be Blackpool. Blackpool are going to win. Swansea are going to win. So Blackpool will stay in the playoffs.
So you reckon it's going to be the team that sneaks in sixth at the last couple of weeks that are going to go up in the
I'm not necessarily making that prediction, although I wouldn't be surprised. What I'm saying is if Blackpool are going to finish in the playoffs at the expense of Swansea. But yes, we all know how this works, and many, many occasions it's the team with the momentum that tends to go through in the playoffs, tends to win the playoffs, and that oftentimes is the team that finishes sixth, of course, because that's the last place, and that's usually the last place that's decided at the end of the season. So it's usually the least equipped club that goes up into the Premier League. Although looking at what we've got Forest City, Cardiff City, Leicester City, and Blackpool, I would suggest that none of those teams are particularly well equipped.
No, it's going to be like a season of learning, isn't it, for any of those teams that come up, isn't it? Really.
Yeah, well, learning not to make the mistakes of previous clubs that have been promoted to Hull City and Portsmouth and pushing themselves through financial ruin. I tremble at the thought of Blackpool getting promoted. Crowds of 11,000.
I wonder if Forest will be more forgiving of Billy Davis if they get there than the
I wouldn't
Derby
have thought
were.
So. No, I wouldn't have thought so. Nottingham Forest fans will be wondering when Champions League football is. That's what they'll be wondering.
Oh God! Yes.
Yeah, this won't be a kind of it's like it's great to be back. Phew! Wow, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it just great to be here, guys? It's great. No, it's going to be, right. Excuse me, but which way to the Bernabeu?
Oh, right, then we'll go in the Europa League then if we must. But,
yeah. It's going to be. But obviously for the playoffs will be what the playoffs are, and they're always fantastic entertainment. And so, we'll look forward to that. But, yeah, I think Blackpool are going to do it. And Ian Holloway, I think, has got a point to prove. What's the betting that Blackpool will play Leicester in the playoff final against his old club, who he managed to spectacularly relegate two seasons ago? I think we'd all like to see that.
Oh, yeah. That's funnier than what you think about
see,
that.
See, this is all the beauty of the people don't see when they only look at the Premiership, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a rich vein of comedy to be plundered. But, I mean, Cardiff, actually, I mean, looking at that, I mean, Cardiff... I was going to say about Leicester, actually. I do apologise, I'm getting ahead of myself. Leicester, of course, have been down in the Championship and just sort of minding their own business and treading water for a while, and it'd be quite sort of... odd, really, seeing them back in the Premier League again, and they've sort of done. They've just got on with it. But they're quite economical, really. I mean, just looking at their record, they've sort of scored 59 goals and conceded 45. And you know, compare that with your sort of 60s and 70s that the other teams around them have been getting. It's sort of they look like they walk a fine line in terms of their form, and yet they've got the wins there. You can sort of see that they've been ratcheting up the wins all season. But Nottingham Forest seem to have the best defence by far. They've only conceded 38 goals in 45 matches, so that's pretty admirable.
Well, I mean, like, they were nudging around the automatic spots for a long time, weren't they? So,
of course, yes.
And, yeah, they were. It, they put a good effort in, which sort of says to me that's why they're not actually going to go up in the playoffs. But because that always seems to be the
inverse rule. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
The third best team often doesn't actually make it through in the end, do they? But yeah, I mean, who knows? Who knows? I've just got a funny feeling about Leicester. Of course, promoted from last season, so they would make it consecutive promotions if they were to make it into the Premier League this time, which was fantastic for Nigel Pearson, their manager. Clearly a rising star. So yeah.
Oh, there's a question, how often that happens, isn't it? Chris, I wonder if you know, has there been a team that's gone up to the Premiership on back-to-back promotion season?
Gone up to the Premiership? Blimey, off the top of my head.
Watford do it under Graham Taylor.
Did they?
I think Watford might have done it under Graham Taylor. The last time they were in the Premier League, I have a feeling that Watford did it.
I was assuming you meant first division.
We can give to the people at home, isn't it?
There will be a prize for anyone who gets this.
There won't be a prize.
It's a warm feeling inside.
There'll be a BBC prize, won't there?
It's just a bit of fun.
You get a gold car, everyone. Because when you said Watford, I presume you meant like back in the old first division days.
No, I'm pretty certain Graham Taylor took Watford from division one from division two to division one to the
Was that when
League.
They beat Wolves in the playoffs?
Yes, and I'm pretty certain the season before they were promoted, but I stand to be corrected there. Watford fans, you know, leave a comment on the Sound of Football webpage. <set them straight. laughs>
Yes, Watford fans, because you're all out there, aren't you?
Yeah. You're queuing up around the block.
You're not really terrible.
Well, speaking of that, let's go and look at the teams that are going to be relegated from the Premier League by all accounts. Hull and Burnley, who in all but name in fact Burnley have definitely confirmed their relegation, having lost to Liverpool at the weekend. A weekend just passed. Hull City they're hoping for such a massive swing that something on a par with the Lib Dems getting in as the next government. But basically, Hull and Burnley are down. I suppose we're raking over old coals by suggesting that Hull are in such financial disarray that they've probably got very little chance of coming straight back up. Is that something that either of you subscribe to? I suspect it probably is.
Yes.
Yeah. Nothing much to add to that.
They've already said that they've got to shave off a £30 to £32 million debt, and cut off a wage bill which is what I think £20 million plus. Then yeah, I mean they're going to have to do a really good job to get rid of those players and two, get in players of sufficient quality to get them, into a playoff spot in the space of a season. By all accounts, most if not all of their parachute payments will have to go to their creditors in order to avoid administration. And also, I learned today, I didn't realise this, but Newcastle and West Brom forfeit their remainder of their parachute payments.
They do indeed, yes. Yeah.
So yeah, I heard that, yes.
So there is, I wonder if there is a business case, particularly if you have creditors that have to be paid soon, is there a case for staying down and cashing in on your parachute payments in order to pay off your debt?
I don't think it matches the amount of money you get from actually being in the
when do you get the money though? That's the thing. When do you get the money? Because you go into the Premier League, and maybe do you get the money in advance, or do you get the money at the end of the season? So you have to wait to the end of your first season in the Premier League before you get cash.
I don't know. I'm sure they cut the checks at the same time. So
do you think so? Or at least I suppose you can go to the bank and you can borrow off the back of it.
Yeah, but it's dangerous. You can go to the bank and say you're good for it.
Insofar as any football club can go to a bank and say they're good for cash.
Also, that is good news for the rest of the Championship because money doesn't stay in the Premier League. That's divided up between the 24 clubs, isn't it?
Indeed, yeah. And in fact, it's going to be even better for the Championship in next season because it's being extended to 4 years worth of parachute payments this time. So if a club does go straight back up again, then it's even more, booty for the rest of the Championship.
But then again, what you get in reverse is that come the end of the season, is it more financially prudent for a mid-table side to just roll over and die for someone like who could go straight back on their first season?
You'd have to say yes. you'd have to say yes.
Something worth thinking about, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it is worth it. Yeah. Well, what can you say? English football stinks. That's why I don't watch it anymore.
Ladies and gentlemen, here we are in week 36 of the season, and finally the truth has come to light.
We can't cover it up any longer, Chris.
It took us 36 weeks to get there, but we finally admitted it. English football stinks.
That's the opening signature tune sequence sorted out for next week. Right, yes. Very briefly, just to turn our attention back then, so Burnley, obviously, I think, are going to be in much better condition to come straight back from the Championship, because they're rather more prudent in the way that they organise themselves. Brian Laws, do we think he's... How long do we think he'll last in next season? I reckon it's probably going to be... He's going to be given about a dozen games, and if he hasn't sort of got any success by then, I can see them chopping him out and bringing someone else in.
I don't think he'll have a dozen games. I don't think he'll be there for the first game.
Really? They'll actually cut their losses?
Yeah, I think so.
Not sure I agree with that, but I certainly don't think he'll be given that many games at the beginning of the season. But he's not going to be there very long, I don't think. They'll give the job to a young manager, an upcoming manager. Maybe they'll give the job to Eddie Howe. He'll certainly deserve it.
Oh yes, fine, upstanding chap for all his achievements at Bournemouth. All that means that West Ham finally have secured their safe passage through to another Premier League season.
Phew! What a relief, eh, Chris?
Yes. Oh dear. it's quite sort of interesting reading comments from different people. I read a sort of fan review in one of the papers, I think it was yesterday actually. It was a Wigan supporter, because West Ham played Wigan on Saturday and West Ham won 3-2. And this Wigan supporter was sort of saying, well, you know, I have to, you know, give credit to West Ham for the fact that they, you know, I think they just edged it and they played some good football, blah, 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 blah. However, I'd rather see them go down for the way that they stayed up a few years ago with the whole Tevez malarkey. But he sort of maybe sort of feel, well, isn't it nice that this generous spirit amongst sort of fellow rival supporters then suddenly give me the kick in the teeth about the whole Tevez affair, which I just wish people would stop talking about.
Tevez affair. I mean, like, you know, when do people stop talking about the Tevez affair? Terry,
I have no idea.
When do you hope that people will stop talking about the Tevez affair?
I hope that people will stop talking about the Tevez affair, quite soon. But I think it's most important that, you know, that we do resolve the issues with the Tevez affair before we stop talking about Tevez.
I hope I never hear the word the Tevez affair ever again on this podcast. Don't you think
we've got a 3-week gap between the end of the season and the World Cup. I'm sure we could talk about the Tevez affair then, you know, if we have to. Gold and Sullivan have been up to their old tricks again in the last 24, 48 hours, opening their big fat gobs. And the latest nuggets of wisdom are along the lines of Scott Parker being the only person who's safe from being sold off. It seems like everyone else in the West Ham squad is fair game. And any one of them could be sold. And just heard today that, as I mentioned earlier on, West Ham have tried to sign Graham Dorans from West Brom, the up-and-coming talent in their team, and were flatly refused. A £4 million bid it was. But to be honest, that kind of player, I'm quite pleased that they're looking around at that kind of player, because at least they seem to have gone off the idea of, you know, signing Ruud van Nistelrooy for £17 million as a one-off sort of thing. At least I'm quite pleased that they're looking to decent players, you know, amongst the best from the better teams in the Championship, as well as, you know, perhaps from some of our rivals near the bottom of the Premiership as well. So I don't mind if they carry on putting in bids for players like that, but I just kind of wish they'd just like shut up, because oh dear.
I think it's quite cool about this whole sort of like car boot aspect of selling their players. You know, or you can have anyone except that one. Okay, you can't have that one. Okay, that's our one. Okay, you can have any other ones. Yeah, these two are going off to South Africa. You know, you can buy them.
Fair enough. I mean, Scott Parker has been absolutely fantastic this season, and just wouldn't disagree with that at all. Yeah. But I would say there are some other players worth hanging on to. Beggar's belief. It's going to be interesting next season, that's for certain. And if not sooner, during the summer, seeing who they sort of, you know, try and snaffle off of other teams and who they end up selling. Because, I mean, don't get me started on all the deadwood that we could get rid of. But anyway, yes, there we are. So well, West Ham stay up.
I know that's the thing. I mean, like, because you've got some good players there that are good West Ham players as well that should be held on to. And to say that they're up for sale. They're not required because they're not going to be the team. They're not going to be the sort of players to keep West Ham up next season. I think this is probably the most reprehensible thing they've actually said. I think. And they've said some rotten things, haven't they?
Absolutely. David Gold was on the telly yesterday saying that, you know, for all he knows, for all we know, Gianfranco's owner may decide to leave anyway. He might decide he's had enough. He may well just walk out and go. But we won't know that, you know, until we've spoken to him. And until then, .. And I was thinking,
we're going to make it really, really horrible for him to be here.
I've rarely witnessed, you know, a more clear case of constructive dismissal than there. I mean, the guy's a... So I should stop. But I mean, you know, it really is. It's quite stupid to do that. But we've talked about those two before, and they do appear to be acting very stupidly in the way that they're doing this. But I mean, genuinely foolishly, because I mean, and you know, and not in their own interests, let alone in the club's interests. Because Zola could conceivably. I mean, they just had to settle out of court with their last manager, haven't they? You know, and they could conceivably say, you know. Zola could say, well, look, I was forced out. But these guys kept going on TV saying, constantly undermining me. I had no choice but to resign. You know, what if he took it to tribunal? I'm serious. What if he did? You know, I mean, you know, he won't. Of course he won't, because he's got too much class. And he'll get a job offer somewhere else. But he doesn't. I mean, I don't know whether Gianfranco Zola is genuinely the right man for West Ham, to be honest with you. I mean, I tend to share your view, Chris, about him. We won't go over that because we've done that before. But I mean, I certainly think that in terms of a human being, I think the sooner he's away from that pair, the happier a man he will be, you know, whatever he chooses to do from there.
I had my doubts from the minute they turned up as regards that sort of the dynamic between Zola and those two in terms of working relationship. Will they hit it off? And I just didn't seem to hit it off right from the start, or you know, that was my suspicion anyway. And as you say, I think Zola will do well just to kind of cut his losses and sort of say, look, there you go, I kept you up, now I'm off. Thank you very much. Don't want any more of this.
Where's my bonus?
I was just going to say, it seems to me that they're giving him a big hearty pat on the back. So hearty, in fact, that if they hit him hard enough, he'll eventually go off the end of the pier and they'll never have to see him again. Mm-hmm. There we are. Anyway, I think time is running out rapidly, so we'd better draw a line under this week's show. Thank you very much indeed for listening. The usual any other business at the end here. You can catch us on Twitter at Sound of Football, at Sound of Football on Twitter. Email, you can catch us at sofpodcast@googlemail.com. soundoffootball.blogspot.com is our web address, our website address, and don't forget the Socrates Football Bloggers meetup on May the 12th. If you're anywhere near London or can get to London on May the 12th, do get in contact with us. If you're a blogger or a podcaster or anything like that, go to socratesmeetup.blogspot.com. We'd love to see you join up with the rest of us and have a good chat about football and blogging and podcasting and all that kind of stuff. We've had a few of these before and always fantastic evenings, which Terry does a wonderful job of organising. That, I reckon, is it for this week. Thank you very much indeed for listening. We hope to have the pleasure of your company next week. Until then, it's goodbye from myself, from Terry and from Graham. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.
And now it's time for Soccer Jens.
Hello. Frank has been looking very miserable. He looks like someone who has arrived at the party and found that his best friend has made off with all the best hookers. Goodbye.
Tune in next week for another exciting episode of Soccer Jens.